Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood semi-professionals, that's for you there, Will, semi-professionals.
That was Matt griping about that last time.
That was Matt griping.
As time goes on, we'll become just rank amateurs, but for now, semi-professionals, and we have 1 hour to write an entire movie, line by line, scene by scene, a page at a time. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos. Hello there.
God. Oh, man.
What is that?
That's from a little movie called Revenge of the Sith. Might have heard of it. Obi-Wan Kenobi jumps down from nowhere and says, hello there. And then what's his face says General Kenobi.
I see. I should have known that.
Grievous. So,
hi, everybody. This is Matthew Arnold, Rian Johnson's estranged nephew. I'm just very connected into this whole Star Wars universe. So it's a good thing you got me on board. All right, let's do this.
Yeah, let's go.
Back into the fray, into the thick of a boxcar scene, I guess. A space boxcar scene. Is that what
we're... Yeah, well, why don't you remind the audience and me where we're at?
So, previously on Jar Jar, Portrait of a Hero, Jar Jar was in his office and had to get to a ribbon-cutting ceremony with a pair of big, wacky novelty scissors.
He had to bring the scissors. Heaven forbid he forgot the scissors.
I realized, to my horror, when I was listening to the episode, that we left the scissors in the car they ran away from. So, I think we're going to have to canonically say that while they were doing that big, wacky rocket pack chase, that he had the scissors with him the whole time.
No.
Because he's got to have the scissors.
No. He doesn't have the scissors.
Somebody shows up.
No, he doesn't have the scissors.
Yeah, somebody shows
up. Why
doesn't
he have the scissors?
No, because then they're like, Jar Jar, you absolute buffoon.
I just kind of.
When he tries to bite it or something.
I know, because guys, like, if you. It's like Chekhov's gun. If you put big novelty scissors in a script, you can't just not have him cut something and it causes a whole bunch of zany hijinks.
Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't cut something.
Also, I have a new rule. Chekhov's gun, yes, but there's a way around Chekhov's gun, and that's Freddy's gun. And here's what Freddy's gun is. Freddy's gun is a screenwriting principle wherein you can ignore Chekhov's gun if you replace it with a cooler weapon. So, to wit, imagine Jar Jar comes in and he's like, oh, I don't, you know, Misa don't have the scissors. And he's like, it's okay, Jar Jar. And you see like a ghost, a force ghost show up. And it's like, you can use my lightsaber. And it materializes and use a lightsaber. And then everything is forgiven.
Also, or I was going to say, Chekhov's gun would be like later when like an assassin from the rebels or something, because they think Jar Jar has betrayed them and tries to kill him at night. He like gets thrown against the floor. And what's that on the floor? The scissors he forgot. And he pulls out the scissors and stabs a person. And then you've established like, that would be Chekhov.
I'm not going to die on this hill, so we will figure out a way to get the scissors back in later. So at any rate, Jar Jar and his faithful assistant, Nathan, what's so funny?
Here's our chance of finally putting our stamp on the Star Wars universe. It could be like, it's okay, Jar Jar, we'll use this nanotechnology compiler to create scissors right here. And he's like, was this always in Star Wars? Could they, what is this? Are they adding this just for this movie? It's all right, here we go. One pair of novelty scissors right here, Jar Jar. We've always had this technology.
It's like when R2-D2 just suddenly has rockets.
Yes, exactly.
Is this Dick Van Dyke in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, like in the Star Wars universe that you're doing over here?
Yes, that's a good pull. Okay, so he's on his way.
They were trying to sneak off from the mob of adoring Jar Jar Binks fans, and then he bumps
Simps.
Don't Bink shame people. So, so then he got big wacky chase scene a la Hard Day's Night that ended with him jumping into a boxcar to escape, and now we've gone from a 1960s movie to like a 1930s movie, and he's riding the rails with a Gungan war veteran turned sort of like, you know, as a destitute survivor. And so we're going to have a tender scene with them. And then,
so, I mean, clearly this starts, they land in the boxcar and he's like, oh my gosh, like, oh, another Gungan here, like a war veteran. And then he hears like a, and he turns around and the boxcar is full of those creatures that farted on him in Phantom Menace. He goes, oh no, this is definitely not the boxcar I wanted to be in, right?
You're right. Yes, it's like 20 farts all at once.
And they all look weirdly sexy for some reason. Right.
Matt's been dying to bring up this kind of sexy fart alien for a while now. So just go ahead.
Specifically
just
the Twitter
it,
of somebody
go
saying they found it kind of sexy. Well, I'm just saying, when you go in a boxcar, you just need to have something in the boxcar. Like, it needs to be, you know, like in Kiki's Delivery Service, she goes in, what's this? The sheep are underneath and they're like eating her bed. And it's like, ho, sheep are like, you know, nibbling on my clothes. Like, I'm just trying to paint a scene here. Are they just in an empty boxcar and there's just like one Gungan sitting alone in this empty boxcar? It's like, hello, welcome to my boxcar.
What is riding Croaky. The rails? It's a
classic.
What's in it? But what's in it? No,
this
but you're
a
right,
railway
though. What's
tramp.
In it?
What's in the car?
I'm just trying to paint a scene here.
C-3PO head.
Yeah, like right, anything like gives me like a sense of what this is.
Like, how fucking wild is that scene? Could you imagine how wild that would be in the Star Wars when you turn the corner and it's just like a wall of 3PO heads staring blankly into space?
Just,
it's like
just the heads.
Fucking terrifying ass, like fucking.
And then Jar Jar's like, it's pretty dark in here, and he's about to turn on the lights. So she's like, no, please God, don't. And right before he stops, though, he turns on the lights, so all the heads turn on. There's like a thousand of them.
Yes.
Like, oh God. Because yes, I know the scene's gonna. I feel like we have a pretty contained scene. We kind of have an idea of what it's going to be, and I want to dig into it. So I'm just trying to you know paint the mise en scène here. What's the
sure? I get you. I get world? You. I guess just to me, like I don't want it to be something wacky because I feel
okay,
like.
Okay, well there you go. The good start. Good start. Not wacky. Not wacky. I hear you. So nothing wacky. See, I'm already getting a better sense of the scene right now. I'm like, okay, I get it. So no C-3PO
heads. I don't think I've ever witnessed sarcastic collaboration before, but this is incredible.
No, I really wasn't. Okay, so this guy's riding the rails because there is it just him by himself? Is there a group of them?
Okay, you're right. These are all good questions. So I feel like it's a one-on-one scene. The other thing I was going to say is I feel like this character, as we introduce here, should become like the resistance Gungan. This is the guy that is going to essentially be fighting to undermine the system Jar Jar is trying to uphold. So like it's kind of like a, you know, brothers in war that, you know, wind up on opposite sides of the next war, so to speak.
Yes, for sure.
One, like a good example of like why he specifically, like even when people rode the rails, it's like, what's the reason? Like, you know, are they migrating to a different place? Or like, again, because this is also an opportunity to perhaps maybe point out some sort of social injustice that Jar Jar high on his, you know, throne or, you know, from his perspective doesn't see, where it's like, why are you riding this rail? It's like, oh, you know, they don't let, you know, it costs money to even, you know, cross town nowadays. So like the only way, you know, we can get from the homeless shelter to, you know, the food bank down the other side is we got to hop on because, like, you know, don't you know nowadays that like travel's not free? Like something like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. like there's also an opportunity for like why he's riding this rail to kind of give you a little bit
what if this could straight up be like, listen, the Empire's been giving me all kinds of great stuff, and maybe the Empire was great, you know?
Sorry?
Who says that?
Like the guy, you know, if he comes in, he's just this total Empire apologist. He's like, you
but
know.
But he's on the train? He's like a homeless on the train. He's like, I love the Empire.
He goes, you should see me without the Empire. I wouldn't even be on this train. Wait.
So he's delusional. That's what you're
saying.
Stupid.
No.
Okay.
Stupid.
All right.
But you know, for example, like, is he riding the train because they're hunting Gungans? Like I'm not saying that, but yeah, I'm just trying to get a sense
of what like you can use.
Yes, you're right. What is this guy doing on this train? This isn't a 1930s movie where he's going to California. So where? Mm-hmm. What is he doing on the train? Maybe he is going. What is the California of Naboo?
Yeah. What is the Big Rock Candy Mountain of Naboo?
I really do love. It is like one of my favorite sci-fi tropes that planets are just treated as like cities
or single
countries.
Location. Yeah, single
like
location.
Naboo is grass and there is Naboo City. You know, Coruscant is big city.
Actually, no, Naboo may very well be the first Star Wars thing with two separate cities.
That's true.
Because there's also the underwater city and then there's the above water city. They got two.
Maybe he's just going home because, you know, like, you know, they're underwater going home and this is the only way you can do it.
Mm, yes, this is
because
great.
This points to the injustice. Since we're specifically bringing up the Gungan veterans here, like this will obviously this will point to the injustice
in the middle of dealing with that problem. This is your pre-existing conflict, and we kind of maybe shot ourselves in the foot by like painting ourselves into a boxcar.
If you have another idea, he could be like, I'm just in this boxcar to get to this other idea. You know, again, this is the first draft.
I literally just made it a boxcar because I looked up the scene in A Hard Day's Night where the Beatles run from their fans, and that ends with them escaping onto a train. And I was like, oh, it should be a train. So,
for example, like here's what I mean. Here, let's say, for example, it was just bear with me. If there was a bunch of Gungan veterans, and he's talking to this one, and he's like, well, it's not just me. And he turns around, there's a bunch of them. And they're all like, you know, huddled in the corners with blankets and stuff. He's like, wait, what are you all doing here? Like, you guys are heroes. Like, I thought you had the community
they
center.
Kicked
he's
us
like,
out.
Oh, they, you know. Yeah, but Naboo's like it's shut down. You know, the royalty. It's all Naboo City is now essentially war manufacturing or high royalties. They don't want us poor people here, so they're sending us away. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like I get like that's a clear, you know, injustice that's occurring, or they don't have any place to go and they're all just on a train because they're trying to get out of Naboo City, because anytime they sleep on a bench or whatever, you know, the guards, you know, kick them out, so they're heading off somewhere.
Some cop R2-D2 shows up and tases them.
Okay, like, okay, hear me out.
Well, R2-D2 is a cop. He looks like a little cop. He's got a little siren.
Oh, I thought this was gonna be
shocks
like
people. You could definitely see R2-D2 going around shocking people that are sleeping on benches. It's like, piece of shit. Everybody likes him because they can't hear what he says. I feel like R2-D2 says a lot of problematic
shit.
Racist
as hell.
Like
a bunch of Luke has reactions to R2-D2 where he's like, straight up R2-D2 is saying like racist shit.
And what's that going around his can? That's right. It's a thin blue line. Oh,
Exactly.
Yeah, dude. R2-D2 could be racist.
What if you do something like Naboo's becoming this, like, again, this is a big site for the war effort, right? And again, yeah. Jar Jar's on his way to unveil a statue of himself in front of a munitions factory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever we're saying is in the next scene. What if you do, like, all these play, they're making laser guns, right? Like they're making hyperdrives or something like that on Naboo now, and all the fucking toxic waste is poisoning the water and fucking up the Gungans. Right? Like maybe you do these.
You Colorado boy. I love it. Yes, that's yeah. great. It's getting into the water system. So now the city, which they, by the way, were already forced into by colonists, now they got to move again.
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. So it's still another 2 to 10 steps from there to why this guy is on a train, but I'm starting to feel it.
Remind me of what ultimately.
Wait. What if we do? Hear me out. Jar Jar escapes. What if instead of doing a train, we back up for a second, and you do like, could these guys be, are there like tunnels underneath the city that these guys could be living in? Do you know what I mean? Like they got kicked out of their house, and now they're living in like, it's like essentially the sewer system underneath Naboo or something like that, because they don't have a home. Rather than him being in transit somewhere, like maybe Jar Jar gives the crowd the slip by diving into the water or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, again, sliding into like, you know, I don't know. That is just another possible angle on it. I don't know if we need it or not.
I kind of like the idea of the veterans being, I mean, yeah, I guess you could do, I mean, yeah.
So canals or boats. Maybe instead of a train, it's a boat, so it can be closer to the water.
On a practical level, it's, do you want it to be that the Gungan veterans are getting like kicked out of Naboo City, or he finds them living in, you know, squalor within Naboo City? It does feel like Naboo City itself is so freaking opulent.
It's called Theed, by the way, is the city.
Thebes.
Theed.
Thebe?
Theed.
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 Theed. Theed.
Theed. That, you know, are they being kicked out of Theed, or they can't afford Theed anymore?
Too many vinyl record stores and $5 coffee places.
Gungans don't like avocado toast, huh?
Another thing you could do is you could, again, rather than maybe necessarily seeing the entire thing, it could be a single Gungan. Mm-hmm. And it could be that, yes, there is some problem. Like, it's not like these, it gets a little like, I'm like, how were they living in this like opulent city in that first place? And now they're suddenly getting kicked out, or, you know, and like living in the canals. Is like, we know they have
certainly
Gungan.
There. I can think of no modern examples of a really opulent city with a really bad, you know, a homelessness problem.
No. But Theed's like, Theed in, as shown in episode 1, it's like, Theed is like the palace.
Sure, but that's
area.
Episode 1. Again, like, there's, you could definitely do that. There's something rotten in this city.
Sure.
Denmark.
Well, as I say, like, could it be specifically that, like, this Gungan had traveled here? You know, they don't have any money. They live, and yes, let's say the water's getting polluted. This is very Miyazaki, but the water's getting polluted. Mm-hmm. And he came to talk to Jar Jar. Like, he came to the government to plead their case.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they were
yeah,
told.
Petition yeah. of grievances, baby.
Yeah, and like, he'd even be a little like offstandish. And like, Jar Jar, of course, never heard this. Like, nothing gets up to him. Like,
oh,
like,
and then Nate 38 can be like, this is clearly in charge of his
yeah,
schedule.
Yeah, it's like Jar Jar is just a symbol. And it also points to him that he is just a symbol. Like Emperor Palpatine's doing everything. And like, yeah. Naboo's essentially already like his home base. He's just there because, you know, it's nice. Right? It's like, Awoke is like, isn't it great we have a Gungan leader? Like, you know, ooh. It's like Jar Jar. Everybody loves him. Nobody's gonna question it. Like, he's just a puppet. Like, he doesn't do anything. So yes, he simultaneously realizes like important decisions are not coming to him, and his own people think he's like doesn't care about them, and then he finds out about this plight that's like gotten worse, and he's done nothing about it, and he could be upset about
it. I see. Yeah,
he gets his uselessness kind of rubbed into his nose a little bit, like, and then that makes the thing that he's going to just seem like he sort of realizes how empty it is and how meaningless it is for him to be there as well.
Yes. I also like the idea that he's going to his growth in this scene. He's like, I'm going to go talk to Palpatine. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to go and tell him, like, hey, buddy, I appreciate what you've done, but you got to start treating me like an adult. I need more responsibility. I want to deal with these things. It's like, Palpatine just became emperor, like, during this time period. So that's not going to work out, you know, sort of thing.
Okay, so this is interesting. So you're saying that the guy, or Gungan in this scene, he's on his way out of the city.
Yes.
Is what it is.
He was already turned away.
And so basically you would do that. They have no money, right? He has no money. Yeah. He's unable. So this is the only way he could get into the city was by riding a train in. And now he's riding the train back out because he couldn't get a meeting with Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, this war hero can't even afford a trip to the city he defended. And he wasn't even allowed to be seen. And now he's, you know, literally being sent back. Like, he's just, you know, going back like a beggar. Like, it's like, it's so dehumanizing. Like, it's just, or de-gungan-izing. So he's just like.
So, okay. I like that a lot. So then he's pissed when he sees Jar Jar in this scene. He's not like, hey, oh my gosh, Jar Jar. Like, you know, he's like, why the fuck didn't you meet with me?
But he must be surprised. Like, if you got turned away by, like, the president.
Yeah, that's true. And then the president shows up, like, in a train with you.
You'd be like, even if you were busy, you would be like, hey, fuck you, but hey, why are you in this train with me? You must be like, I think he's disappointed and sad.
My only thing is it a bit weird cinematically to, like, introduce a character being like, I was at your office earlier, but I couldn't get through to you. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, is it
feels like, because all you have to do is just have a little, you know, in the run up as Jar Jar, like, walks down the hall, there's like a whole, you know, he's got assistants who are saying, like, hey, you have to get to this and this and this. And he's like, okay, whatever. You know, like, you can show him kind of having a busy day that he's brushing aside. And, you know, like, I don't think it's that weird to be like, yeah, your people turned us
away. No, it's like a little bit like Prince and the Pauper. Like, if you're like somebody like going out amongst the people and then, you know, you're talking, right? It's the classic, like, the princess is buying an apple. It's like, hey, why is this a problem? It's like, oh, you know, I went there into the cat palace, but they ignored me. It's like, you know, you're essentially finding out whatever, that you're not a good ruler or in this case.
Retroactively, I do kind of feel like you would want a moment like Freddy is talking about, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would want to see people seeking an audience with him or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Just a busy guy or whatever. But I don't think it's that weird to be like, yeah, here's your, you know, kind of by happenstance, because I think it karmically is an interesting kind of turnabout, you know? Because
It could be like, he's like, what are you doing here? And then he tells him, and then, you know, Jar Jar can be like, oh, well, I'm here now, so here, you can have an audience with me. He, like, sits down, you know, it's like, tell me what's going on, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think maybe. So. And also the thing that Jar Jar's going to go, like, do is like, ugh, that's why I want to talk to you about these things, these factories that you guys keep opening up. It's ruining our, you know, or whatever, right? Like, what Jar Jar's going to do is directly tied to what this person came.
Yes, and I like that. You know? And then that's definitely a heavy thing to hit Jar Jar with. That, and he's like, what am I doing? I'm just a dumb figurehead that everyone laughs at.
Could he do, it's tough because, like, they're, like, opening the munitions factory, right?
Yes, or whatever.
I mean, it's whatever we want, baby. Yeah. We're in charge.
Yeah, that's true. Because you could do a fun thing where it's, like, the timing's a little weird, but if he was literally like, yeah, you know, I understand. You know, we support the war effort. Like, we totally get it. It's just, unfortunately, you know, the munitions factory is indeed poisoning all of our water supply, and we're starving, and, you know, now we're living out of the water on the shoreline, you know, catching birds or whatever, because we can't, all of our fish are dead. You know, it's a tough life right now. And, you know, we were hoping for some support and whatnot. And then Jar Jar, you know, he was like, he knew, okay, I'm on this train, I'm gonna hop off on 4th Street or whatever and get to my thing on time. And, you know, he's so overwhelmed and absorbed by the story, he, like, misses, he's like, I'll help you. And now you get this, like, you know, Goofy, he's gotta, like, he sprints to the ribbon cutting, and, like, what he wants to do is, like, shut it down, because he's like, we got shut down the munitions factory or whatever. And then this causes the whole, you know, they're about to cut it and he runs in and it's like, no, he knocks the whole thing down or something like that. I was just trying to think if there's, like, he can come to the ceremony with the idea of either, I don't know, making a speech about it or something.
I don't know that you need it to be like he's coming in to stop it. Like, I think you could do, like, this guy drops this truth bomb on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, still, oh, shit. And just let him. He still has to go cut the ribbon and open it. But he's wrestling with that, you know?
Yes,
and
then it's much more interesting to see him still doing what he was doing, but now knowing that it's causing a problem, because he's not at that point where he's a hero yet. This is his growth into it, you know?
Yes.
Do we have, like, because I actually like the idea that if you were going to do that, all the pollution from these munitions, you know, depots are polluting the water and killing the food that they live on. Do you know what I mean? Like, again, they're farmers, they're fishermen, essentially. And so you could do, like, you know, like the three-eyed fish in The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Like, do we have, like, some, this guy has, like, a fucking gross-ass mutated fish to show Jar Jar? Do you know what I mean?
He could show his back. or something. He's like, you know, battle scars. They're showing battle scars. He's like, oh, how about this one? He's like, oh, that's from the water. Like, you know, his scales, and like it hurts their, you know, it could be like they are getting rashes. And I think it's even stronger if it like it clearly is affecting like them.
Oh,
like,
they're getting sick is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're getting sick. Like, you know, he's got this like weird rash and he's coughing and he's like, yeah, you know, it's like that's why we had to leave the water.
Dude, he sticks his tongue out because you know how the Gungans have those big old tongues, uh-huh. and it's like, ugh.
Oh no,
you know,
it's so sad.
He's got three eyes on the end of his tongue.
Yeah, his tongue straight up has a small droid embedded in it now. He's like, hello.
This is for all the people who watch the DVD features. It should be that the munitions factory, whatever the pollution is, it's just salt. And it's literally like, oh, yeah, the waterfall is no longer a waterfall. It's just salt is pouring down into the water below.
Like, oh, from a little far away, though, it still looks like a waterfall.
It looks like water.
You only think that because like, you've never been home, Jar Jar.
Jar.
You've been
we're
stuck
freshwater
in the
Gungans. Gungans.
Yeah,
we're
it's freshwater like, it's, I'm sure it all just looks like a matte painting to you, Jar Jar Binks.
Stupid.
So the freshwater Gungans, and now they're living in salt water because there's so much salt's pouring down the side.
No one realizes that blasters have a really high sodium, you know, content.
Yeah, blasters are just straight up. You can season food by shooting it.
Okay, this is getting there. Yeah, so I like, yeah. Yes, I do like that it is like polluting, because also kind of points to the broader, like, again, there's also like a clear effect of the whole planet. It's like, it's not just the Gungans. Obviously, this is polluting gun. Like, this is from this point of view, but clearly it seems like pretty much outside of Theed, maybe like Naboo is not as great as, you know, whatever the canon says. Like, I kind of like the idea of that. And in fact, you can even show that perhaps like the only thing that Jar Jar kind of gets to do post, you know, as the junior representative after Revenge of the Sith is like he does his best to kind of protect Naboo. But like, this also the realization, like, that's not enough. There's, you know, people suffering all around the galaxy. Like, good job. Like, you kind of like have protected Naboo. But
it feels sadder if the guy is not dejected and he's just another flip on this. Could you do Jar Jar falls in and the guy's thrilled to see Jar Jar because he's like, I'm coming to see you, actually. Like, I'm on my, he's on his way into the city. Just hear me out, right? Like, because the train can be going up whatever fucking way you want, right? Like, pretty much. So here's what I was going to say. He's on his way to see Jar Jar about this thing. And the Jar Jar's like, I got to go, but like, I want to talk about this more. And then you could do a joke with Nate38 where it's like, Jar Jar has a very busy schedule, as you can see. And then you see Jar Jar's schedule and it's like ribbon cutting, baby kissing, portrait, you know, modeling. Like, it's just all fucking frivolous bullshit because he's a figurehead or whatever. I don't know. Like, it's just a thought rather than do this. Like,
I like his personality because I do agree. I think it's sadder if he's that, but I think it's even sadder. And there's something about like the, It feels like nothing would have changed, like, unless we kind of know, like, obviously then it's like, okay, well, like, if he didn't fall into this car, like, the guy would have shown up, and like, you can kind of explain that.
Oh,
probably.
Sure. Yeah.
But I like that he's like, oh my god, Jar Jar, and like him being like, hey, I totally get it, like, you know, I came all the way, but like, I know there's a war going on, you must be incredibly busy, like, you know, we don't want to complain, like, right, that sort of feeling, like, you know, we don't want to complain, like, you know, we understand, but you know, we are all dying, we're just hoping there could be some sort of suffering, like, that's like, you know, it's like this very kind of like, you know, almost like Eastern European element of like, hey, the world's tough, we know the world's going on, you know, we're patriotic, you know, we're all doing our part,
just you know, throw us a bone maybe if you got some bones to throw our way a little bit.
Yeah, that this person is like such this like good patriotic, you know, Nabooian who's just like, again, and Jar Jar, because I think it's important for Jar Jar to realize that he's not, there's one thing to be like insecure about him being a hero, but I kind of like him realizing that like he's not doing anything, and it's not just his fault, like there's a whole system beneath him that he's not seeing what's really going on, and that he could be a help to this, because I think that's going to be important, because then you get a sense that like he does care about this stuff. But it's going to feel impossible once the Order 66 happens and they're under the rule of the Empire, right?
Yeah. Or again, you get essentially when the Emperor makes the offer to him, like, look, you're going to be my guy. You're going to be able to do stuff on Naboo, but you're just going to have to play the game that I want you to play.
And he's essentially lies to himself that's worth it or whatever.
Yeah. All right. So that's starting to feel... The only bug I have up my ass is this, like, oh, I came to see you, but then they kicked me out. Like, the thing. It just feels a little, I don't know. I'm trying to, it's just another pitch for it. Could you do that? It's like, this guy is, I don't know. I was going to be like, he's on his way to see, you know, Senator Amidala, who's like the one who actually gets shit done, you know? And Jar Jar's like, well, you could have come to see me. He's like, no, I don't know. Like, you're not, everyone knows you don't do anything or something like that.
I don't really have an issue with that, though. I mean, it's like, you know, I think you can paste in something previously. So like, is there anything specific about it that's throwing you off?
Yeah, because I kind of like the status. There's all, because who he's meeting is somebody who is leaving the city. And then you understand, like, they're traveling on the rail and then hiking. hiking and then going 140 miles downriver, and they have no money, and he came here and he was just thrown out. Like, it's, you're catching somebody on the, like, to me, that's like, it's a very sympathetic, and you kind of understand the stuff. Like, I get that it's kind of like, it feels on just like a purely, like, kind of, I guess, like momentum level. But we're coming in, like, I feel like the character is more evocative if you understand that he is somebody who's been casted out, mm-hmm. and ignored, and that's who Jar Jar is meeting, as opposed to somebody who may be theoretically at some, like, next step. Like, and also, again, I like the realization that, like, Jar Jar is not hearing these things and being told these things, that he is just a puppet.
Could you do, okay, hear me out. Just to, I just need, it needs like a little, just something. Could you do that?
Farting.
Yeah, it needs a sexy farting alien. Could you do that? The thing we see earlier is someone try to come up to Jar Jar, and maybe it's even just the fans, right? Like, where someone's like, oh my God, Jar Jar, I love you. Hey, can I talk to you about blah, blah, blah? And it's like, the representative is very busy right now. Here, have a sticker. Right. Or like, have a pin. And then they give him just this big goofy pin of Jar Jar's face. Like, you just see Nate 38 chucking these things out like candy, right, to distract people. And then he's got that pin, this destitute Gungan, like, in the car. Like, this is the proof that he was there. And it's like, I came a zillion miles to fucking bare my soul about this problem, and all I got was a sticker with your face on it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
I feel
here's,
like,
here's what you, I like that. Here's, again, not to, but we did it on Heaven Heights, like, something to place in the previous scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is you could do it as, yes, as they're ushering him, like, he walks past, like, there's, like, you know, he can look through a glass door and there's a line of people, and he's like, oh, what's that? They're like, oh, nothing, you know, we gotta get going. And then you cut into, and it's somebody being like, sir, please, like, I was hoping Jar Jar would, you know, say goodbye to my son before he dies of cancer or something. And they're like, sorry, he can't do that, but here's a Jar Jar pin. And you're like, okay, like, this is the group of people who come to ask Jar Jar questions, but the bureaucracy doesn't care about the normal person.
Yeah, I think it's a transitory, because I think you do, it's between, rather than it's, oh, here's what it is, rather than them jumping out of a fucking garbage chute, which was just kind of like a pretty insane move at the end of the last scene, you do, they're like, no, not out that way, we'll go out this way, right? And as they're going out that way, you see that there's a line of people waiting in Jar Jar's office to talk to him. And people are coming up to him, and he's like, no, 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 the center's very busy. Here's a pen, here's a pencil, here's a sticker, you know, and he's just slapping them on people's heads and stuff like that. And Jar Jar's waving, like, you know, and everyone's like, bye, Jar Jar. You know, so it's still like, it's part of that kind of madcap breeze of it.
Yes.
But then we see it later, because, again, it's this guy who's got nothing but a fucking stupid sticker with Jar Jar's face on it, instead of actually getting to talk to him about the problem.
Yes. He, like, asks Jar Jar, like, hey, can you sign my sticker, though? Like, you're still a big hero of mine. I fought with you on the side, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there when you got nutted. It was incredible.
I put ice on your ball sack after you got nutted at the Battle of Naboo. So, okay. All right. That's really good, though. I like that. And that kind of buttoned to me, because it's just, there's a bit of pathos to that. We're like, oh, man.
Yes.
Like, you know, like, it's a symbol of the sort of what he is, which is a big sticker, you know? Like,
and I'm always a fan of introducing, like, a concept, like, in a comedic level, like this madcap, like, oh, look, they're ignoring, like, these people come for help and they get stickers, and then calling it back to it in a way that's like, honest and tragic, right? It's like, the audience is like, oh, that's funny, look, it's kind of like, I get it, fucking bureaucracy, slow. And, you know, it's like, then you get to this scene, like, oh shit, sucks.
We should low-key slip in that Jar Jar's entire campaign for the junior representative was financed because Nate 38 had the wisdom to ask Jar Jar to hold on to the likeness and rights for merchandise and toys based on Jar Jar.
Very good.
These Jar Jar toys are the only reason you're in the Senate.
Okay, so I get what this character is and what their problem was. What,
yes,
where does the scene after that, that's kind of like, gets you to the midpoint of the scene, what is Jar Jar's reaction to this, and how is the plot, like, what's the flow into the next moment, like, what's his goal, even if it is just like, again, maybe it isn't that he's like, I'm gonna change, like, you know, there's a tragedy to, like, you know, he can't, he's not gonna do anything different, he's gotta go there, he's gotta cut the ribbon, and he's thinking about it, like, that's fine too, but, like, what's, yeah, what's kind of his
how do we get out of this scene? I see what you're saying. How does the scene actually go?
Yes,
so he comes in. The guy is, you know, do we do that he's happy to see him? I guess he is. We're saying that
he is.
Like,
I mean,
especially
he's like a hero. And
I think this guy's
going
to hate Jar Jar's guts and probably try to assassinate him by the end of the movie, right?
Yes,
so you
like
want to start out, it's like, hey, Jar Jar, wow, you know, they said I couldn't get through, but I'm so, you must have heard I was there and you came all this way to see me, right? Like, I even think you could do that.
Also,
yeah.
This guy later in the movie being like, you sold out, right? This is a guy who loved him, even with all the difficulties going on in Naboo.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Him being like, no, like, you selling out for the Emperor to protect Naboo is bullshit. Like, I'm here, we're here, we're gonna die to fucking stop the Empire. Like, you should be doing this. You're on the inside and you're not doing anything. You're fucking trash, you know, right? Yeah. Like, that's more effective. This guy loves him here.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so he's happy to see him. He, you know, tells Jar Jar the whole thing. And
yes.
It does, I think the most clear way to do it is I think you actually play coy with the audience a little bit as to what he's like. Our fish are dying, right?
Yeah.
There's this pollution that blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my gosh, you get invested in this story. And I think at the end of it, you reveal it is the munitions factory that he is going to go speak at. And he's just like, what can I do? What can I do? He's like, they're pumping chemicals into the water, blah, blah, blah. So what can I do? He's like, what can you do? You can tell them to stop building this munitions factory. And he's like, do you know what I mean? Like, you hit them with that right at the end of the thing. And then I think you do like, he doesn't give a straight answer, right?
Or is it, could it even be like, again, if you do that, this person, again, because I also like setting up this character now in terms of this is a truly, again, it reminds me of, I can make it because I've just been watching the Queen, but it's a very like British sort of sensibility of like chin up, like, you know, we're not trying to over, you know, we understand everybody's got tough, you know, what we would like is just like some support and food. We'd love, you know, could we get some fresh fish, you know, rations from some other place and some shelters, you know, that's what we're hoping for. Like, we need help. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we're saying. We're not trying to fucking, you know, we're not going to shut down the munitions factory because we want to win this war. Right. Because again, that sets up that this person's like a soldier and a warrior and somebody who believes in a strong, you know, society. And he was betrayed. Like, right. He fought for this country and he was betrayed by Palpatine and his choice is to become a rebel. So like, it could be something like he just asks for that. And Jar Jar's like, of course, like, oh my gosh, if I was told this, I would get it for you. Like, I would, we just need
to
get
some food
to
like
us and some shelters.
Temporary
like,
shelters. Yeah.
Like, we're struggling. Like, you know, kids are starving. Like, all of our stuff was, you know, we can't bring our houses are underwater and like are getting burnt from the acid of this thing.
The only thing with, oh, go ahead. But I have a thought.
Oh, because what you can do is, again, because I think there's that element of he can say that. And then Nate 38 just needs to get him there. And then Jar Jar is like, this is what I want. And then when they're going to go cut the, cause to me, it's also as simple as like, he says, I want this on the, and Nate's like, I will, yeah, sure. We'll figure that out. Let me go process this and see if that's possible. And then right before they cut the ribbon ceremony, he's like, so what did you say? And he's like, hey, you know, the ration, there's a choice. We can send the rations to the fucking front line or we can give it to them, but you know, you're going to screw the soldiers over. So what are you going to do, Jar Jar? And he's like, ugh. And he's like, you know, you can't do it. And then, you know, he realizes there's no way to help these people or he's not going to push for it. And then as he's cutting the ribbon, he's like watching the fucking munitions factory, you know, go over. And it's just like, it is this like helplessness that he feels in that moment.
Okay. Cause essentially what I was going to say is it feels like whatever happens here needs to complicate things at the munitions factory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
My only thing is that feels a little roundabout. Like the guy's like, can you do this for me? And then Jar Jar's got to go have a whole other scene where he essentially tries to do that and then finds out no. And then he's got to go do the thing. I see what you mean. I'm trying to think.
So the arc of this would be like, we saw him practicing his speech and he's like nervous about it. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't think he's a hero. And then he gets prepped up and that'd be something to do. And then because of this, because he doesn't believe, like as he's trying to say this speech, he's watching the water flow over the waterfalls or whatever. And he's thinking about this person. He's flubbing it and he's sounding awful. And, you know, maybe he even begins to go off. I actually like him, like, begin to go off the speech, you know, and then you could have, like, Nate 38 or somebody tries to, like, stop him or, like, cut the mic or something like that or say, hey, you know, the Papa didn't really like it. And then that causes the kerfuffle or whatever.
Here's what I would say. Mm-hmm. Rather than, like, rations or something, which just feels like a side thing, could you do, again, like, I know I keep coming back to the three-eyed fish from, but, like, let's say he's got this three-eyed fish. Just hear me out.
Yeah.
He's got this three-eyed fish and these Jar Jar's like, what can I do? And he's like, you can tell people what's going on. We've been talking to the media. We've been talking to politicians. We can't get anyone to pay attention to us. But if you show people that this is what we're dealing with,
this everyone loves fish.
You. They'll listen. If you show people this three-eyed fish, they'll understand what's going on. And maybe we can get some attention for our cause. Right. And I buy Jar Jar wanting to do that. And then the speech is the perfect opportunity for him to do that. It's like, am I going to show everybody this fish? And then, of course, it goes wrong.
No, I love that. I love that. I was trying to get visually because a three-eyed fish is like, I feel like he would hold up a three-eyed fish. Like, look at this. Just look at this monster that they're trying to eat. And then you'd cut to the audience. And there's like a group of aliens that are three-eyed fish. It's like, what? Hey, everybody.
Hey.
They're like, that's not that weird. Like, all the fucking aliens look fucking weird here. Hey, fuck you, you caught us.
He's like, it's gross, it's disgusting, it has five eyes and two tongues, and then Nate 38's like, no, and you're like, what?
No.
And then you see, like, these very pissed off five-eyed, two-tongued aliens, it's like, how dare you?
Oh, no, you lost the Freedom Caucus, just screw it, you're not gonna be able to. But yes, yes, yes. I like that. Yes. The person, I mean, yes, because the tangible thing is nice. If the person has something like a tangible.
And then it is like, you get exactly what's going to happen in the next scene, which is Jar Jar wants to do this. And then Nate 38 is going to be like, under absolutely fucking no circumstances are you going to ruin this munitions thing by grossing everybody out with a fucking three-eyed fish, right?
Because he would, Nate 38 would be like, look, we will talk about it. Like, yes, let's, you know, we'll set up a meeting for you or whatever. And it's Jar Jar, you know, you can see Jar Jar, like, you're thinking Jar Jar should push back harder. It's like, obviously they're not going to, like, they've been avoiding everything.
And then, again, I think a big source of tension with Jar Jar is that he's definitely going to be one of those people who, you know, I'm not to flex on my history learning, but I'm reading a big book on
a big book with really small font that's really
it's
tiny.
Really
it's got a lot of words.
I'm reading about the Russian Revolution right now because it's something I'm curious about. And so Tsar Nicholas was very famous for being, there was this running joke that the most powerful person in Russia was whoever the Tsar had just spoken to. Mm-hmm. Like, he was one of those people that, like, would just agree with whoever was in the room and then change his mind later. And I do feel like Jar Jar is someone who's easily swayed emotionally by whoever he's talking to.
Yes.
The tension is, this guy says, like, this munitions factory is fucking horrible and it's poisoning our fish and we can't eat. And then Jar Jar's like, we should do something about this. Oh my God, this is the perfect opportunity to speak up. And then Nate 38 is going to kind of talk him out of it, or sort of, like, you think talk him out of it. You're like, no, Jar Jar, do it. And then in the speech, he's wrestling with it. And then again, he starts to go off script. And then maybe you do that Nate 38 is the one who causes the accident. Mm-hmm. Or hear me out, this is your next level. You could also do that Nate 38, like, sneaks off and goes and pulls up a little communicator and talks to Senator Palpatine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nate 38.
And he's like, Jar Jar's going rogue.
And then Senator Palpatine goes, I don't give a fuck. I just killed Mace Windu. And he just hangs up. And you're like, oh, yeah, he
Palpatine's
does not
like,
care.
But, I just right. killed. I look no, like
I was going to say, and maybe there's another mysterious Sith Lord that he's talking to or something like that. But then you would do it. My thought was, it's Palpatine in his throne room. He's like, leave it to me. And then Palpatine channels the Force. And then Palpatine's the one who causes the zany accident that destroys.
No, we're thinking about it too hard. It's no, because it's, I don't think, like, somebody, like, tries to sabotage him. I think it's like he's told not to do it. He cares. Mm-hmm. And it's a classic comedy of tragedy. It's this gross ass fish. He's talking about it. He's like, look at this thing. And he, like, taps it and it spits black ink into his face because it's disgusting mutant fish. And he goes, he tries to wipe his face.
And
he falls.
And everyone laughs and they forgot everything he was saying. Yes, you're right.
Yes,
and then they love him even more. And then they're like, all right. And then they're like, all right, let's turn this bad boy on. And then they turn off the factory and a shitload of sewage just spews into the air and lands into the swamp nearby.
Yes, the first thing Jar Jar sees as he finally gets the ink out of his eyes or the fish guts out of his face is the sewage going over the waterfalls. And he's like, I didn't help anybody.
This is dark as shit, dude.
Okay,
that's really
good.
I like that quite a bit, though.
Yeah, that's fun.
Okay, so it feels to me like maybe the best chunk that we can do that feels like the most cohesive narrative momentum to me. So first, let's do the scene, our little amended scene where we plant the sticker.
Yes.
Then we'll do the scene with Croquet, and let's take that through to the moment Jar Jar goes out to give the speech, because I feel like that whole zany pratfall into Order 66.
There's a lot of language. Yeah. There's a lot of language around Jar Jar nutting himself, and it's going to be important we nail that.
And people just think, like, oh, you can hand wave, like, the physical comedy. It's like Chaplin took, like, 10 days to come up with a single gag. It's like, no, we're gonna take our time. That whole sequence is deserving its time.
Plus, we gotta pivot into Order 66. We gotta figure all that out. Okay, so when we come back, we're in the Croquet scene, and then Jar Jar's walking out on stage.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but, like, also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man, sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself, and I'm Morgan Rhodes, and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Interior, Jar Jar's office, day. Jar Jar puts on a brave smile, hoists the scissors over his shoulder, and marches to the door.
Not the front door. The crowd will mob us like a pack of slitherfish. This way, sir. Nate 38 opens the door to a side stairwell. A line of people waits in the stairwell outside Jar Jar's office. Some of them sit on cots and sleeping bags. They've been waiting here for days. Nate 38 opens the door, guarding Jar Jar behind her. Upon seeing Jar Jar exit his office, a commotion erupts in the line.
Jar Jar!
Jar Jar!
Jar Jar, Mr. Binks, please read this petition!
Read this! We need your help! I'm hungry!
Political stuff, Mr. Jar Jar!
No. No appointments today. The representative is very busy.
Groans of disappointment from the people in line.
Hi there, sorry. Can't Lisa do anything for them?
Oh, very well.
A hatch pops open in A38's chassis, and she fires a volley of campaign stickers at the people in line.
Sticker for you, sticker for you, sticker for you. Vote for Jar Jar.
Do you remember the pizza launcher? The Ninja Turtles pizza launcher, Will?
Yes.
That's what that is.
That is vivid.
One of the greatest toys.
It was an incredible toy. I lost all the plastic pizzas immediately. Yep.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I definitely hurt myself on this thing because you have to pull a thing for it. Anyway, that's what the launcher is. Make a note.
Okay, now we're fast forwarding to the Okay, scene.
Interior, railway car, day. Jar Jar and Nate 38 fall into a beat-up railway car. A stack of milk crates emblazoned with a Blue Bantha mascot drinking a glass of blue milk break their fall.
By the way, I was very proud of Blue Bantha milk as like the brand of the Blue Bantha
milk. Wait, so is the milk coming from the Bantha? Like, cows don't drink their own milk, dog.
They didn't think about it that hard. Maybe it's like the Blue Bantha is like selling you the milk. Like, check out my milk. You know, maybe it's not drinking the milk.
Yeah.
And they're milking it from a droid, like a C-3PO style droid. It's like synthetic milk the whole time. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what blue milk is. It's droid milk, dude. Fucking gross.
Yes. Okay. This is the canon now, is that blue milk comes from droids, but it's called Bantha milk because Blue Bantha is the company that sells the milk.
Yes. I love it.
They fall on the crates. They give a wince of pain, then an exhausted sigh of relief.
General Jar Jar? Is it you?
Jar Jar looks up in the corner of the car. A weathered Gungan in a ragged military uniform has made a little camp for herself. This is Croquet Seal.
Croquet?
Croquet beams a megawatt grin and hobbles to her feet, pulling a crutch under her arm.
General Jar Jar! Captain Croquet Seal, ready for battle!
Suddenly she coughs and falls to her knees. Jar Jar rushes to her side.
Croquet! Steady! Steady, what are Yusa doing here?
Just catching a ride back home, General. Actually, Misa came to Theed to see you.
She points to a Jar Jar campaign sticker on her crutch.
Still glistening, new, freshly peeled.
Brand new Jar Jar sticker. But I guess Yusa pretty busy these days, huh?
Well, Misa here now, what's on your mind?
Well, General, it's about those new blaster factories they're building. They saw pumping their sludge runoff straight into the Andravea River.
They saw what?
Captain Seal, it is my delight to inform you that every Republic facility on Naboo is thoroughly regulated to ensure minimal environmental impact.
Minimal impact, huh?
Croquet reaches into her bag and pulls out a disgusting mutated river fish, its skin covered in growths and sores and more than a few extra eyeballs.
Tell that to the folks in my village when Wisa pulling these out of the water.
Hey, Yusa.
Wisa can't eat the fish. Wisa can't sell the fish. Wisa dying, General.
She coughs again, staggering.
Croquet.
Captain Seal, the junior representative, hears your concerns and thanks you for sharing your voice. May I suggest filing an official complaint with the Subcommittee on Wartime Project Resource Allocation?
Bah! Those muckety wigs don't listen to us. We saw minimal impact. But you, General, when you so speak, they so listen.
Oh, Misa not that important, really.
Croquet grabs Jar Jar's hands and looks imploringly into his eyes.
General, Misa spilled the same blood in the same mud. Misa village lost many sons and daughters at the Battle of Naboo. Misa proud to support the Chancellor in the war. But this is our home. This is what Misa fighting for. Will Misa fight for us?
She puts the gross fish in Jar Jar's hands. Nate 38 grabs Jar Jar from behind in a bear hug.
Sorry, sir, this is our stop. A true pleasure to meet you, Captain. Vote for Jar Jar.
But Misa not... Yeah!
Jar Jar screams as Nate 38 dives out of the moving train, taking Jar Jar with him. Exterior, Theed Riverside Day. Jar Jar and Nate 38 plummet from the train into a river winding through the city of Theed below.
No, it should be right before they hit the ground. Nate 38 puffs up like the ejection, like mold in Speed Racer. I love when droids have like magical powers they didn't
know
before.
Yes. Nate 38 turns into a big poofy airbag bubble and they bounce harmlessly onto the ground.
Cut to Exterior, Munitions Factory Day. A giddy crowd charges.
Oh, sorry, stupid gag. And yes, it's a bubble, and then when they land, like the bubble deflates, and it's like a big plastic bubble, and then it disconnects from Nate 38, and then she just kicks it into the river, and then you just watch this big plastic bubble float down the river and go off the waterfall. Anyway, sorry. Just littering. Okay.
Exterior, Munition Factory, Day. A giddy crowd chants Jar Jar's name outside a sprawling munitions factory. A stage has been erected in front of the depot gates. Two big Citizen Kane-style banners of Jar Jar's face flank the stage, along with a massive statue hidden behind a huge curtain. Exterior munitions factory, backstage, day. Backstage, Jar Jar paces, despondent, staring at the gross fish like Hamlet pondering Yorick's skull. Nate 38 blow dries Jar Jar's wet clothes.
Nate 38 has every single attachment, like
Swiss Army droid.
Premium. But how can Misa give a speech at a munitions factory when Misa polluting the water? Shouldn't we say something?
We will, of course, at the appropriate time to the appropriate member of the appropriate committee. But if you're thinking of waving that hideous fish around at your statue unveiling, well, I would advise strongly against it.
But Croquet's village.
Everyone on Naboo is making sacrifices for the war. We all have our burdens to bear.
Jar Jar frowns, unconvinced. Nate 38 peeks open the backstage curtain and points outside to the crowd.
That's why what you do is so important. You make them smile and laugh. You make them feel hope. Sometimes that's not easy. And maybe that's your burden, Representative.
Representative Binks, a Jedi approaches.
Yo, this is the first Jedi in this script, dude.
Boom.
Give me a cool voice.
Representative Binks, I'm trying to do my Qui-Gon voice. A Jedi approaches and motions Jar Jar towards the stage. We're ready for you. They're going to take you. Jar Jar's resolve wavers. Nate 38 holds out the ceremonial scissors and puts out a hand to take the fish. With a sigh, Jar Jar hands her the fish, takes the scissors, and follows the Jedi onto the stage.
Who struts with a cool lightsaber. It glistens in the sun.
Who pulls out two purple lightsabers and does a backflip.
Whoa!
So that's the scene.
Hell yeah. You know what's incredible is like that's the top of page 10. So I know like we're about to get that whole zany statue fall. Like to me, that's the page 7. Like we're so far ahead of the game.
That's
like,
our page 17.
We already have like a ton of good ass moments before page 17. So like this is feeling good.
Yeah. One thing you may have noticed is that Nate 38 and Croquet Seal both got a bit of a gender swap. Which is something we've been kicking around because this script wants Palpatine and Vader get into the mix. It feels like we're going to have a pretty dude-heavy scenario, so figured we'd mix it up a little bit.
And also, are there any female droids in Star Wars?
There is the droid in Solo that winds up becoming the Millennium Falcon, played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, that's right.
And yes. Also, to me, like, Nate 38 starts to pop once you picture, like, Lisa Kudrow voicing her and being, like, this sort
yes,
of, like...
Yes, when you said Lisa Kudrow, I was like, that's perfect.
Oh, okay, yeah, I get it.
So, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, Nate Silver voicing.
Yeah, so
538.
Silver.
We need someone with the charisma of Nate Silver in this role. Give me Lisa Kudrow. Oh, my goodness. Well, that is the scene. I'm feeling pretty good about it. 10 pages in.
Yeah.
This script's feeling pretty focused. I feel like we're hitting what we're trying to hit. I don't know. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. No, it's feeling good.
No lightsabers yet.
And it's about to get nasty. We're about to get Order 66 happening very soon.
Yeah.
So that's good.
My favorite moment in all of the Star Wars history. Will, what's our fan art situation looking like?
Fellas, we got a very, very special piece of fan art this week.
Ooh.
Tom Lum on Twitter created a jizz version of A Hard Day's Night.
What?
Yes.
And so there is...
Sorry, what?
Yep. There's the jizz rendition of A Hard Day's Night. You can find that at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. Thanks very much to Tom Lum.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You can check out all our past fan art at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak. Head on over to Facebook, bit.ly/StoryBreakFB to join the discussion there.
Thank you to the Maximum Fun Podcast Network for having us on their podcast network. You can head over to MaximumFun.org to check out all the great podcasts available. Thank you also to Chad Ellis, who edits this podcast. It's going to do it for us this week. More Star Wars action coming at you next week. Nonstop Star Wars feed every week. This is all we wanted, right? Just nonstop Star Wars. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. I don't know. I don't feel like this movie's so good. I don't want to make jokes at the end of it. Like, just fuck yeah.
Just say the may the force be with you. Then.
Oh, yeah. Matt Arnold. May the force be with you.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Together, we're The Flophouse,
a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Movies like Space Hobos, Into the Outer Reaches of the Unknown and the Things That We Don't Know, the movie, and also Who's That Grandma?
Zazzle Zippers, Breakdown 2, and Backhanded Compliment.
Elvis is a Policeman.
Baby Crocodile and the Happy Twins.
Leftover Potatoes?
Station Wagon 3.
Herbie Goes to Hell.
New episodes available every other Saturday.
Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye.